Started. Hi, it's Diane. It is Tuesday, February 6th. I'm here with a noon group. So far we have Tammy and Jennifer. Who wants to check in and celebrate first?
I'll go first, actually. Actually, you know what? I have a celebration.
Okay.
I got to tell you, this is just amazing, okay? I we've been working really hard with our son, of course, and one of my older kids came home the other day, and he was kind of in a grumpy mood and, you know, kind of had a loud voice when he came in and everything. And I couldn't get to the other room where Dennis, where Dennis was, and he was starting to get a little overwhelmed, Dennis was. And anyway, my husband was in the other room as well. And so Dennis was trying to calm himself down. And so he, after a couple of minutes, he, I was trying to calm my, or tell my older son to kind of, you know, bring it, the noise down a little bit. And I was talking from the living room into his bedroom. And so anyway, Dennis was getting a little overwhelmed. So anyway, Dennis goes over to my husband and says, "Dad, how am I doing with this? You know, keeping myself calm." I thought that was amazing.
That's really cool.
I know, right?
And the answer was?
My husband was like, "Dennis, you're doing so well with this."
But oh, that's so cool.
Maybe even, yeah, I know, right? And maybe even more exciting than that was after the kids went to bed, my husband came into me, into the, I was in the living room, and he comes into the living room, and he tells me, he goes, "You're going to be so excited to hear this."
Oh, that's so cool, Tammy. That's you weren't even involved in the family's transitioning. Look at that.
I know, right?
Your footprint is being felt far and wide, dear. You're working hard on this one.
Yeah, this is so true. But it was neat to see my husband be so excited about it as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
You know,
awesome.
To be able to see it so clearly. So, yeah,
awesome.
It was great. It was a huge celebration.
Okay. Jennifer, what about you?
Hasn't been a lot to celebrate over the past couple of weeks. We've just been sick and, I guess, okay, celebration. My husband, I don't know, I guess his wisdom tooth or something has started to bother him, get impacted or whatever, and knowing that I can't stay home from work these past couple days because I have major presentations this whole week, my son says, "Mom, I'll stay home with Dad and take care of him," which I'm like, yeah, you just want to stay home from school. But last night, my husband said that he really did step up and take care of his father yesterday. Mm. So while I'm not happy about him not being at school because he's so far behind from being sick, he had ended up getting pink eye at school last week and missed a day. But he's learning and showing empathy towards at least his father.
Wow. That's
so
wonderful. So what do you do, Jennifer, to acknowledge that? Because that's a step for him.
Yeah. It's hard because, you know, I'm like, okay, well, thank you for taking care of him. I know it means a lot to Dad, but you're getting really behind in school, so it's kind of like, okay, I didn't really step, you know, respond probably the best.
It's that big giant butt that comes in, right?
Right. because he is so far behind in school.
Oh, it is hard not to. So that's just the piece of it, and it's just, yeah. Yep, it's hard. Because you want to celebrate and you want to acknowledge that because you know the relationship. If he's a caregiver by nature, you want to celebrate that and honor that and, you know, help him to figure out what his priorities are. Because the reality is that there may be a time, it's like, and that same situation with my son. It's like, he may choose to skip doing X because it's more important to him to take care of a good friend. And you want him to make those choices consciously. And the only way to do that is to actually let them make those choices. So I wonder whether there's a conversation with him that says, well, I know that you had a lot of homework, but you took the time to take care of Dad. How did you decide what the trade-off was and what was more important to you in the moment?
Right. I think because he's been struggling with everything going on at school and what he has to be doing and hasn't been able to do, I think it was easy for him to jump in and say, yeah, I can take care of Dad, as an avoidance measure. But, I mean, he really did step up.
So hang on a second. So this is that great opportunity to come up with, you know, not just one reason he might have done it, but three reasons, right? So he might have done it because it was avoidance. He might have done it because he was really worried about his dad. He might have done it because he really does like taking care of other people. You know, so it can become a yes and instead of a, well, he'd rather do anything than do homework, so of course he chose that, which may be kind of true. It also may not be.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I do. I know that he really does care about people because, like, when we will go downtown Atlanta and serve the homeless, and he has absolutely no problem sitting down and talking to them and giving them a big hug. And, I mean, we went to the same place for 2 years. So people got to know him, and he got to know people, and it got to a point where if we weren't there, they're like, oh, where's CJ? Is he okay?
Right,
so
right.
He does have that in him. I just wish he would show it more, like at school or something, and he says, well, people just don't. They think it's odd that I'd rather wake up at, you know, 5 in the morning and go down to a homeless shelter on Saturday morning. They think that's odd.
So we're not going to talk about celebrating strengths, but I was just working on something with Sanity School. And so I'm going to challenge you to focus on his strengths and focus on encouraging his strengths. And every time you notice yourself saying yes, but, find a way to redirect that and make sure that, you know, there's not a should in there. Because usually if we're doing yes, but, it's because there's a should in there. Is that a reasonable challenge for you, Jennifer?
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right, so where do you want to take aim this week?
Probably trying to get them all caught up at school, just working with him to help prioritize what he has to do.
It's about helping him to figure out how to prioritize what he has.
Pardon me?
So what I'm hearing you say is rather than, I'm going to put words in your mouth. Forgive me, Jennifer. But so instead of focusing on getting caught up, it's about helping him prioritize so he can keep making progress on his backlog. Is that right?
Yes.
Which is a more specific, so I'm doing this for the recording more than for you, but it's like it's a more specific way of taking aim because there's lots of ways to get caught up. But really what you notice is that the first part is like how does he know where to to even start and what to start on and how to decide what to do first and then next and that sort of thing and then getting started.
Right, because he's so overwhelmed with the sheer volume of stuff that it's easier for him just to close his eyes and then it doesn't exist.
Yeah, yeah,
so
absolutely.
Helping him learn what, you know, what takes precedence.
Well, it's really about helping him learn how to manage his overwhelm when the volume gets big. Now, prioritizing is one tool that can help do that, but it may be that, you know, what you're really wanting him to do is to have some other tools in his toolbox besides avoidance, which has been his number one tool when things get overwhelming.
Right.
Okay, cool. Cameron, where do you want to take aim?
I'm going to take aim on my advocating. My advocating with the school is where I'm taking aim. So.
Okay. Is there a specific situation you're getting prepared for, or is it just generally how you're engaging or not engaging with them?
Well, no, I have a really good relationship with them, but they're sending in applications for the vocational school for next year, kind of an alternative to high school, and they're sending them in at the end of the week, and the way they come across and the way I come across are two different, you know, they're opposite ends of the spectrum. So what I did is I went and got four letters from different people to put in with my son's application instead of just having the new school look at, you know, parties, absences, you know, just the regular stuff. So that there's more to this boy instead of just, you know, black and white numbers on a sheet of paper. So,
right, right. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
I'm looking at that.
All right, so this week we are talking about this concept of acknowledging and validating. And we're on page 40 of the workbook. I can't believe we're starting February. It just feels crazy to me. It's going so fast.
Yeah.
So this is a great tool, and it's interesting because, you know, we teach the coach approach, and one of the first tools that both Elaine and I learned in our coach training is this concept of acknowledging and validating. And it's the first step in the ACE process, which is what we teach a lot with parents, particularly parents of older kids like the three of us are. But it's really about connecting with our kids, and it's a good tool for us, and it's a good tool for them. It's a good tool for us because it's a great way to pause before we jump to solution. So many times our kids say, "Mom, blah 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 blah," and we immediately jump to, "Well, if you would do this, or go do this, or go do that, or whatever else," and we jump right to the solution. If we take a minute to acknowledge and validate, creates a pause, and that's helpful for us so we aren't over-solutioning. And it's helpful for our kids because a lot of times what they need is space to clear an emotion, or they want to feel like they're being heard, or, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on with them, and so it creates a space for them as well and a connection to them, and it's a way to kind of put the relationship first when you're dealing with any challenge area with our kids. So acknowledging and validating. So the word acknowledge means a little bit different thing in this context. It's not about saying, "Hey, thank you for doing this." So I acknowledge you for something you did. That's acknowledgement. Acknowledgement here is really about recognizing their experience. So so they're having a hard time at school, or they failed a test, and you say, "Wow, I can tell that was really disappointing for you." And you validate that by saying, "Anyone would feel that way if they worked as hard as you did to try to get a good grade on that test, and then they and you just the rug got pulled out from under you, and you got a different grade than what you expected, right? So you're acknowledging their experience. You're validating and normalizing and making sure that they know that, number one, you recognize that that's their experience, and it makes perfect sense. An important piece here, and I learned this the hard way with my former spouse, is that you don't have to actually approve of what they're feeling or agree with what they're feeling in order to validate it. And this is always sometimes if people have a hard time with that. If I say, well, it makes sense that you would want to just lay around and do your homework instead of doing your homework, which is it's a validation. It makes perfect sense. You would rather lay around and play video games than do your homework. It doesn't mean that you're approving of it and saying it's okay to do it, but you're saying that it makes perfect sense. And it does, because who wouldn't rather do something they really enjoy than do something that's hard for them or something that they would really prefer not to do? So the goal here is to connect with our kids, to give them space, to give us space before we jump to problem from problem to solution, and to really then, as we'll talk about in a future class, then you move to compassion, which is, you know, really I've felt that way before, and it makes perfect sense that you feel this way. So I'm curious about the two of you guys. Is this a tool you had start used, because you both have been in for more than a year here? Is this a tool that you use regularly? How do you use it? What are you noticing?
I try and use it. Jennifer, I try and use it. I'm told sometimes that it doesn't sound very sincere when I say it or whatever.
So what do you think is underneath that?
I don't know. I don't know. In our house, it seems that there's a sort of, not anger, but stress tone, which turns into anger, especially with my son. You know, he's a teenager, and he's definitely acting like a teenager and not, you know, giving short answers or snarky type answers. That would really get my husband upset. And then if I say something like, well, yeah, you were kind, you know, CJ is right. You were kind of harsh on it, you know, and then it just turns around. So maybe I'm just not doing it at the right time, probably.
So hang on a second. So if what it sounds like is you're acknowledging your son's situation to your husband. So I'm going to challenge you to flip that around. So if you've got somebody who's upset about something, whether it's your son or your husband, start by saying, wow, I can tell you're really upset with him. You know, so you want to acknowledge, because it sounds you want to acknowledge your husband, right?
Yeah.
So and you can do both, right? So you can see both sides of it. I can tell you, anybody would think he was being really lazy. Boy, anybody would think your dad's being a dictator. You know, whatever it is, but it's that sort of acknowledging their own experience, because what ends up happening is that they're a little triggered, and then you kind of feed the fire with the other person's perspective, that's going to end up winding them up instead of calming them down, which is acknowledging and validating can sometimes help unravel a trigger. Does that make sense?
Right.
So what do you think, to go back to that situation with your husband, what do you think he most needed to hear from you in that moment?
Probably that I'm on his side, that I agree with him. Probably mainly that I agree with him. And
Well, so there's two different phrases you use there. I'm on his side, and I'm agreeing, and I agree with him. So I'm wondering if you can split those
my
two apart. Yeah. But I guess I'm wondering if you could split those two apart. Could you be on his side and not agree with him 100%?
Probably, but trying to phrase it the right way, I guess.
Yeah, so what's popping into my head, and Tammy, I'll let you chime in here in a minute, but is that when the brain is triggered, an overwhelmed or triggered brain thinks black and white. A calm brain can think gray, right? So if you've got somebody who's upset, they're going to be, I'm right, you're wrong. You know, that black and right, white thinking of, you know, they aren't going to be able to find that middle ground because they're going to be in this very black and white perspective. So the acknowledging and validating helps them to calm down, get untriggered. And then you might say, well, I wonder how seeing his side of this might help. Or you kind of, you know, you introduce the idea that there might be another perspective to look at. You know, that sort of thing. And so you're ending up finding ways to acknowledge his perspective, wait till he calms down, and then introduce another perspective. So that's kind of what's coming up for me. Does that make sense, Jennifer?
Yeah.
Tammy, what do you think of this whole conversation?
Well, a couple things. I used the acknowledging with my son a lot because what I found is that I think I use it and don't even think about using it, and it's because it turns it into a positive thing, and then it doesn't get into a back and forth, a negative type thing. So it calms the whole situation down. I shouldn't say that. It doesn't escalate the situation if I acknowledge something with him first and then kind of go from there. Yeah. So that seems to work. And then with my husband, when things get because there are a lot of ADHD. Well, actually, just this morning, my son had done the litter box last night. And so that was great that he did that. My husband got up this morning and he went to take a shower, and my son had left the bag of litter in the middle of the in the bathroom. So my husband came down and said, look, he left this in the bathroom. Can you believe it? And so I just, you know, said, I kind of laughed a little bit, and I said, yes, and he cleaned up the whole, litter box. Everything is nice and clean and cleaned up, you know, so it kind of turns his perspective around a little bit, you know. That's how we have kind of, with each other, have kind of gotten over some of the hills around here.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So I guess the question is, I want to go back, I think, Tammy, to what you were saying about it not always working. And I'm wondering, they don't believe it, right? So what do you do if they're taking it as being superficial or being dismissive or insincere? What would make it more believable for your son, do you think?
Are you talking to me?
No, Jennifer. Sorry.
Jennifer, okay.
I'm sorry, what were you saying?
What do you think? So you were saying that sometimes he doesn't quite, he says he feels like it's not sincere. What do you think would make it more believable for him when you do acknowledge and validate?
I think sometimes he thinks maybe that I'm being prompted by, like, his father to tell him good job, or that, you know, like, what he did was good. You know, he's like, oh, well, I just, you know, you don't mean that. You're just saying it because Dad told you, or... I don't know. I think maybe be more cognizant of when I acknowledge that he's done something good, or mainly it's when he's done something good and I want to acknowledge him. I think it's more, think more about timing of it.
So is it about doing it more in the moment, or is it doing it more when he's calm and present enough to hear it? What do you think?
I think when he's calm and mainly, you know, just calm. When he's calmed down and not, so I think it's just waiting until he's calmed down.
Well, the other thing that's popping in my head is, you know, the conversation earlier about the big giant butt, right, in the room. So it's kind of like if we acknowledge, and either there really is a butt there, or if we move to it too quickly, I think that's part of it, is that, you know, is there a way to create some space? And so say, wow, I can tell this is really hard for you, and then just leave it be for a little bit, instead of saying, and you still, you know, and what do you want to do next time to do it better, or whatever, you know, whatever the language would be for that. But, you know, it's that sort of, if we stay with the acknowledgement and the validation a little bit longer, even overnight, even if we say, wow, I can tell that's really hard for you, why don't we talk about it tomorrow or another time whenever you're ready. You know, if we can wait, if we can create that space, I think it lets it sink in a very different way, because I think a lot of us move really super fast, and we forget that part of what they're doing is processing the emotions, and not everybody processes their emotions at the same pace.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Tammy, you sounded like you were going to jump in with something. Does that resonate with you?
Oh, no, I was, yes, very much. I was just going to agree with that. I had figured it out that when I acknowledge when he's having a difficult time and I acknowledge something, I have to let it rest for a while. Mm-hmm. I have to let it rest for a while until he comes back for validation.
Mm-hmm.
Because it
so what does that look like? You have to say, what does it look like when he comes back for validation?
He'll usually come back in and his head will be down. You know, he's kind of, you can tell he's looking for something, like kind of like, help me out here, Mom. It's kind of like he's alone on a raft or something, you know, he needs to be rescued. It's kind of like that. I know it sounds kind of silly, but he's kind of looking for some help after he takes that. I think it's easier for him to be made fun of, or, you know, a negative emotion. I think it's easier to hear something positive, and all of that takes him longer to process.
Well, that makes perfect sense. And it also demonstrates kind of what he needs from you in that, because he doesn't he doesn't just take it automatically.
No. Or else he'll come back in and he'll look at me and he'll go, hey, Mom, I love you, you know, something mm-hmm. like that. So he always kind of gives me a hint as to when he needs, you know, a step further.
Yeah.
So,
Jennifer, I'm curious, is there a parallel in your life that's like that? Because I really resonate with it, because I can always tell with my kiddo when he's ready to move on to that next step, it's because he'll come back and he'll say exactly, Tammy, what you just said, and Jacob will go, I love you. And that's like, that's my cue that, okay, I'm ready to really work this thing, Mom.
Yeah.
Right.
Jennifer, what?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a point where he's ready to acknowledge that he needs help or can see and understand what I was trying to say or do. He'll eventually come around.
How hard is it to be patient and let that happen?
Not that hard, because it's harder. I mean, it's like, I think the waiting, I know he'll do it. And it's just like, okay, well, whatever. And sometimes I'll, you know, just say, oh, yeah, whatever. He'll do it when he's ready, and then they'll, you know, be gone from my mind. So then when he does come back, it's like a pleasant surprise.
You said, did I lose you?
No, I think, you know, waiting is the hardest at times.
That's the question, is what gets in the way of waiting? What's the story you tell yourself about it needing to get fixed now?
Well, I don't think any longer that I'm thinking it has to be fixed now, because I think, okay, he'll come around when he's ready, and I know at this point I can't force him. And if we try and push him to be ready sooner, it just, you know, it doesn't work. It almost like backfires, that he can see that, well, they want something from me. They want me to say, okay, I'm ready or whatever, and, well, I'm not going to, so. And it's kind of, I think I know what I'm trying to say.
Well, I mean, I think that's the piece of it, is just kind of there's this continuum, right? And so there's what happens in the moment, and then there's what happens, as gradual. And it sounds like part of what you're doing is kind of trying to get to the point where you say, okay, it's this isn't urgent to happen right now. And at the same time, there are times where it's harder to just let it sit. And so I think that's the challenge, is to kind of notice when you tend to do which. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And it's just, you know, like I always tell my husband, you know, choose your battles. You know, some things aren't worth pushing now or whatever. So I think it's just the same thing, you know, choose the right time. You know, be patient.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So when you're thinking about the situation with prioritizing school and helping him to kind of get his head around, you know, this catch-up work, how can you best use this tool?
I think, like, Sunday he asked me if I could write down everything that he needs to do class-wise for all of his classes. And, you know, stupidly, I took his pad of paper and I wrote everything down and I gave it to him. And he went back into the computer room. And then I'm sitting there thinking, well, that's stupid. I know what he's doing. He's looking at that list going, oh, my gosh, I can't possibly do everything on there. I don't know where to start, what to do. So maybe I can get that list and say, you know, I understand this is a big list. And I know it's hard to know where to begin on it. So, you know, what do you think should be the first thing to work on or whatever?
Well, I guess I'm curious, Jennifer, how would you know whether he, you know, I guess, has, you know, is he, because my kiddo would have taken that list and found all the easy stuff and just started doing all the easy stuff and avoided all the hard stuff. You know, so every kid is going to handle that list differently. Some kids are going to freeze, right? So the question I would ask is, how do you know for sure what his reaction is when he gets the list, and how do you not just hand off the list, but hand off the, because you're helping him. You know, you don't want him to just get the list done. You want him to help him figure out how to figure this out the next time. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, because I'm thinking, you know, when last time he was so overwhelmed, I mean, that's when we had the cutting incident. So.
Yeah. So there's two parts of this, right? So step one is checking on his overwhelm level. And step two is helping him to be successful in getting his work done.
Right.
And I'm wondering how separating those two changes it versus managing his overwhelm while he gets his stuff done. Does that make sense?
Right.
How do you check in with him on a regular basis about how overwhelmed he's feeling?
Probably not nearly as much as I should, I guess.
What could that look like?
What, me checking in with him or him being overwhelmed?
You checking in with him.
And he'll say, oh, I'm fine, it's okay, I got everything, I got it. But I think just the lack of him doing anything or showing that anything is done goes to show that he's overwhelmed. Like, I know on Saturday, he didn't really do anything, even though he said he was doing work. He ended up not really having anything to show for it. So I know he's overwhelmed.
Okay, so when you notice that he's overwhelmed, is it about stepping closer? Is it about, you know, what are the tools that you have in your toolbox that, number one, help you to notice when he's overwhelmed and then to know where to start to help unravel it?
I think I've been really bad at, when I do notice he's overwhelmed, I jump into, okay, what can I do to help you get things done? Even if it, you know, means doing stuff for him.
Okay. So that's interesting. So what the solution is, okay, so if we get everything done, then if we get everything done, the overwhelm will decrease, or is it, it doesn't matter if you're overwhelmed, the stuff still has to get done? And I'm exaggerating a little bit in my tone, so don't overread that.
I think get everything done and the overwhelmed will be go away because it's done.
Yeah. Well, it makes perfect sense that you would think that way, because it's like, it's this long list. Let's get the list down to a smaller size. And the reality is that part of what's going on for him is that he doesn't know how to manage that much stuff.
Right. And just getting stuff done for him doesn't help him learn how to.
Right. So if we unravel that, step one is noticing that he's overwhelmed. Step two is figuring out what exactly is it that's overwhelming him. Step three is, what are some possible things you might do that would help manage the overwhelm? And then step four is picking one of them and trying them.
Right.
And I'm oversimplifying, but it's that sort of process sort of thing. So it's like you're not just helping him to decrease his overwhelm, you're also helping him to figure out how to manage this the next time it happens.
Right.
Tammy, what's coming up for you?
Pretty much the same thing. I mean, my son had a project due. It was due on Monday, so he had all weekend to do it. And, you know, of course, the whole week before, but he didn't do it then. But and that's okay. But what we did is we were, what I did with him is I said, okay, now, I think I started on Wednesday or Thursday, and I said, by this time, we need to have the list of what we need to get. And that was clear with him. And then then we made another, you know, at this time, we'll go out and get the stuff. So we did that. Well, I think he went out with my son and got them. We'll get their stuff then. What do you want? So he did that. And then we left it until the next day. And I said, on Sunday, you need to do the project. And so, and we made a time. And so that was, he was just very clear. But the steps were very incremental. So it wasn't like a huge, like, oh, you have a whole project to do. So it worked out great. And I didn't do the project for him. He did it. He came and showed it to me when he was done, and I told him it was great. Actually, what I said to him, I said, did you meet all of the, specifications of what the teacher said? And he said, yes. I said, are you sure? He said, yes. And he was really happy with it. And that's the way it went. So, but I have to do things in very small steps with him, or else he just kind of, erases that from his agenda. Is what happens.
That makes sense.
They have to be very small, doable steps.
Yeah, yeah. So in that, how do you, you know, at what point do you begin to help him? You know, let me reframe the question. So it's like we're walking him up the stairs to independence, and it's the same thing for both your boys, right? So it's like, this is what we're doing now. We're breaking it into smaller pieces. What's that next level of scaffolding look like where you're helping him instead of just feeding it to him in increments? What's that next level of independence, Tammy, where you're helping him to take a little bit more ownership?
Well, what the scoop is within all of that is he took care of the rest of the homework he had, and he got that done. And the teacher told me that it was all finished. So I knew that he was doing what he could on himself, you know. So we helped him with the bigger project. This is one of his, he's just started now doing bigger projects now. So, I just wanted to give him a few days to get it in his mind, figure out what he was doing. You know, he put the list together. I mean, within the little steps, he had a lot to do to make those steps.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So how do you, you were talking about you going back and doing some work with the school. How do you, how can you use acknowledging and validating? Because we're talking about with your husband, right? So this, or with a spouse, we can use this acknowledging and validating tool with anybody. I'm wondering how you can see maybe using it in some of your conversations with the school that you have coming up.
Well, in my conversations with the school, I email them quite a bit. I mean, every day we touch base about certain things. And I've had to, within this certain conversation, I've had to, take some time to myself before I write back to them so that I am on a good place before I write to them. So that's okay. But I was going to say, as I was listening to the conversation, I need to use the acknowledging and validating on myself.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's what I came up with while I was listening to you guys talk. I was like, oh, I should turn this around and put it on myself when I do the, as I'm thinking about the advocating, you know. So that's what I'm going to do. So that'll work out. That'll keep me from feeling so overwhelmed and keep me calmer and, you know. So it'll be good. Yeah, so anyway, that's what I learned. So that was a huge thing.
So give me a good example of when you most need acknowledging and validating.
Probably when I am going to do something by myself. If I'm going to do something by myself that I know is the right step for myself to take, then I just need to acknowledge it and just say, yeah, this is fine, this will be, I just need to go back and acknowledge that and kind of have that extra, like, look how far we've come here, you know. This is the right thing to do. We can do this and kind of carry on.
Kind of like, so what you're describing is that acknowledging and validating is a way of giving you, like, championing yourself or celebrating or, you know, kind of giving yourself that boost of motivation to make something happen.
And also keeping myself calm, you know, calming, like, you know, what, like, when a lot of other people are coming from something, from are coming from a different direction, right? They have a different perspective than I do because I'm the one that has this child and they're the ones that have the black and white numbers and all of that, right? So it's two different perspectives. So, but my perspective can be just as true and wonderful as theirs can. So we just kind of have to.
Well, and what you're articulating so well, Tammy, and I appreciate your elaborating, is just how important this tool is. So let's take you out of your head and put you in one of our kids' heads, right? So it's the same sort of thing. What acknowledging and validating does is it gives me motivation. It helps me to calm down. All of those things, which is what our kids need to be able to problem solve. Mm-hmm. They need motivation and encouragement. They need help calming down. And so you're just describing how important it is for you. And I'm sure that's going to make it even easier for you to kind of go, oh, wow, this is why I'm doing this for my kid, because I know that it would help me as well.
Right.
Yeah. Awesome.
Correct.
Awesome. Cool. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's wrap up our call. Good conversation today. Page 41, four questions. What did you focus on the most or pay attention to? What's your clarity or aha? What's a realistic action step for you to take? And how do you set yourself up for success with the action? So jot down some notes, ladies, and I would love to hear from both of you. At least one aha and one commitment step. Let me know when you're ready. Just go ahead and jump in.
This is Jennifer. I think an aha for me when you were talking about how the triggered brain only thinks black and white. And I think you said that acknowledging and validating can help show some shades of gray and diffuse the situation. Did I get that right?
Well, yeah, and Tammy said it more eloquently than I did even. It's kind of like acknowledging and validating calms you down. And when you calm down, you move out of that black and white thinking and the possibility of problem solving becomes, it becomes more realistic.
Right. Yeah, so that.
Because most of us, if we feel validated, most of us calm down. I mean, that's just a natural side of it's like, oh, okay, they get it. I don't feel like I have to defend myself as much. It's like if I'm having a debate with someone and they say, well, this is what I'm hearing you say, I'll be like, oh, they get it. So I don't need to be as on guard. I don't need to be defending myself as adamantly because I feel like they get me and I can calm down a little bit.
Right.
And what do you want to commit to in terms of action, Jennifer?
Maybe not. Maybe giving him more time to... think about things or what had been talked about before I jump in with my acknowledgement or give it more time and before I just acknowledge what's going on. I
So giving it more time and more space and not just jumping to moving forward. So is that easy for you, hard for you? What?
I think it'd be easy for me. Just knowing, you know, I don't need, you know, it's okay to give space, give him his solution or, you know, his space right now.
That makes sense.
It'll be a challenge, but.
How are you going to remember?
It'll just have to be, I'll just have to, seems like everything else, just keep, the you know, these calls in the forefront of my mind and, you know, remember, you know, try and remember what was talked about. You know, it's hard sometimes to remember. Just being cognizant of and I don't know what I'm thinking.
Okay. So just kind of bringing it to the front of mind and exercising that piece of it a little bit more. I love that.
Right. Yeah.
Tammy, what about you?
Just what I said before, just the acknowledging and validating with myself. I'm going to turn it on myself, and I think that'll help some advocating come a little easier. So,
yeah, cool. And so, what do you do to remember?
Well, it'll be easy to remember because I need to calm myself down. I was looking for ways to help calm myself down a little bit, you know.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So you're already motivated to do this because you already know that it's something you want to do, and now you've just got this cool new tool to use.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, totally. I'm all good.
Awesome. Great. Yeah. Well, thank you for the call today, ladies. Great call. And we have a Lifeline call next week, and then we are on PSS the week after that. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon. And so thank you for letting me know you didn't get the emails. We'll hopefully get that out. I need to get back on it and figure out what happened. But
that's fine. No worries.
Thank you for coming, even if you didn't get an email.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Yeah. Bye. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye.